Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So this is the second in our series, The Cost of Following Jesus. So last week, Jonathan spoke on the cost of following Jesus, forsaking all. And then this week, the topic is the cost of following Jesus, sacrificing time, attention, and energy. And then next week, Una will wrap this short series up, the cost of following Jesus, suffering with Jesus. So as sort of a little background, last week John used the verse from, or a couple verses here from Luke chapter 14. You know, Luke 14:27 says, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then a few verses later, verse 33 says, "So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions." And so Jonathan challenged us in three ways last week. You know, first was to assess the cost, where Jesus asked us to forsake all. Secondly, was valuing the cost. When you forsake all, you get something of value, and Jesus says that is the kingdom of heaven, which is beyond cost. It's a reward. And then finally, we need to be prepared to pay the cost. Again, it's forsaking all. It could be our jobs, it could be loved ones, our comfort, our reputation, and in some cases, perhaps even our life. So many of you, most of you probably know this, but early in my career, I was on the faculty at the University of Georgia and taught in the biological and agricultural engineering department. And so I started when I was 28 years old. I wasn't much older than some of the students at the time. And I'm giving away some closely held secrets to our college students, who you may have already figured out anyway, but I was asked to teach several classes, and some of the classes that I taught, I really had some expertise in. I had taken graduate level classes in that area. I had done research in that area. I practiced the engineering arts, so to speak. There were other classes where I had an undergraduate class in that area, but really hadn't practiced much. But I had some preparation. And then the big secret, there were some classes that I was asked to teach where I had no experience at all. And the only difference between me and the undergraduates was several years of age and the fact that I was one day ahead of them in the textbook. So the reason I tell you that is that this has been a challenge. I stand before you today. I'm not without experience in sacrificing time, attention, and energy. But I also feel that in some respects that I'm one day ahead of you in the textbook. And so we'll be digging in and learning together. And so it really has been a challenge to prepare for that. So the cost of following Jesus, sacrificing time, attention, and energy. So one of the things that I'm not super good at think, compared to Bible book studies is topical studies. It's like, where do I begin? It's so wide open. So so I begin with a web search. I thought, what are the odds that I can do a search on the term sacrificing time, attention, and energy and actually get something? Well, I got two somethings, actually. The first one was a website from a business called Asian Efficiency. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it. It was started by a man of Asian background. He grew up in Europe and the United States, but he He does seminars and training on productivity. And his whole basis for it is what he calls the, he uses the acronym TEA, which, tea is, a very cultural thing in Asian culture, so I think that probably relates to it. But TEA stands for time, energy, and attention. And he had an article, The Three Pillars of Productivity You Need to Unlock Your Full Potential. And his claim was that productivity problems boil down to issues with one of these three things: time, energy, or attention. So if you want, it's clearly secular, but I thought it was interesting. If you're looking to increase your productivity, manage your time, you might want to. He has some blogs and stuff, and then he also offers paid training, of course. But Asian efficiency. The second one I wouldn't recommend. It was called Evolve Consciousness. And you can probably tell where that one's going right away. Very new agey type of stuff. And he had an article that says, what would you sacrifice to change your life or the world for the better? And he talked about sacrificing time, energy, and attention. But of course, the focus here was all on learning. If you could just learn enough, we would overcome, the whole world would be at peace. And it's all about truth, love, and freedom. I don't recommend you spend much time there. But I just say that to say that even the world recognizes that time, attention, and energy are key items in our lives. You know, we all have days that last 24 hours. We pretty much all have to sleep during some of that. We do have varying amounts of energy, of course, but none of us have energy that is limitless. And finally, we have many things that demand our attention. And when Christ asks us to forsake all, he also asks us to give all of that to him. And so how do we do that? This is a challenge that we all face. Well, I think that we can learn something from Christ himself. You know, the first step is to be aligned with God's will. And so our example is Christ. And we're going to look briefly at Christ and the woman at the well. If you want, you can turn to John chapter 4. We won't be reading this in depth, but just sort of touching upon it. So first we'll read John chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. And so if you remember, Jesus was traveling to Galilee. Don't recall where he was starting from, but he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired from his journey, was just sitting by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. So here we have Jesus on a journey, and it says that he's tired. He was probably hungry too, since the disciples went into the city to get food. And so a man that was tired and hungry and needed a rest. It said he was sitting, the version I was using says he was just sitting by the well. So it sounded like, rest was his primary interest there. And along comes this woman. Back in November of 2018, we had Doug Torok here for a weekend, and he taught on being interruptible. Some of you may have been here at that time. And so here we have Jesus being interruptible. You know, he was there primarily to rest, and along comes this woman because his father had created an interruption for him. You know, the will of the father was to have an interruption to his rest. And so you know, we go on with the story. He asks for a drink of water, and then he says, "I have water that will solve your thirst forever," basically. And they have a conversation. She realizes that he knows everything about her. She runs off to get people, and they come back. And in the meantime, the disciples show up. So in verse 31, it says, "Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat something.' But he said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' And so the disciples were saying to one another," did someone sneak him a chicken biscuit? No one brought him anything to eat, did he? "And Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work.'" And so the part that I want to focus on here is the example that Christ sets when he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Now, of course, if all of us were to decline eating and focus totally on doing the will of God, that might last for a couple of days, but we would deteriorate. And so Jesus is not telling us here that we shouldn't eat food, but what he is telling us here is that his mission, you know, what drives him is the same as food drives us. It's the will of doing the will of his Father. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." And so we're instructed to be imitators of God, imitators of Christ, and therefore our mission should be to do the same mission that Christ had, which was to do the will of the Father. And so in a similar way that Christ got nourishment from doing the will of God, you know, we also get nourishment from doing the will of God. And it's a daily choice. You know, earlier we read the verse, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Jesus said this to his own disciples earlier in Luke. In Luke 9:23, he was talking specifically to his disciples, and he was saying to them, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And so sacrificing time, attention, and energy is a daily choice that we have to make. So what do we expend time, energy, and attention on? You know, a lot of times we said that it's to do the will of the Father. Well, what's the will of the Father? You know, how do we learn that? Well, until the Lord reveals something to you specifically, he has revealed in Scripture some of the things that you should be about. And so I'm referring to this as the general will of God as revealed to us in Scripture. And so, you know, some of you are saying, "Boy, I've got small children. It takes all of my time." I have good news for you. That's the will of God is to take care of your families. And so the first thing we do need to be concerned about is our immediate family. You know, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So that's pretty straightforward there. You know, some of the time, intention, and energy that you need to be focused on should be focused on those of your own household. And ignoring the needs of your family is denying the faith. And so by inference and taking care of your family, that may mean that you need to focus time, attention, and energy on meeting the needs of your employer. Now, that's true for probably most of us because we need to earn money somehow in order to live and to provide the needs for our family. And so when we're talking about forsaking all and giving it to Jesus, the things that we normally do in our lives in many cases, you know, fits within what God would have us to do. But then we are asked to expend time, energy, and attention on fellow believers. Galatians 6:10, it says, "So then, while we have an opportunity, let's do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith." And so another thing you need to look for are needs within the body. You know, specifically here within Western Wake Bible Chapel, where we are closest, we're most likely to know about the needs, but it can also extend to needs of other believers that we know about. And so what is the will of God? It's to be aware of the needs of believers, and when you have the capability of meeting those needs, to meet them, whether that be through extending your resources, your money, or your time, energy, and attention. This is the will of God, that he would have you to do that. Then it extends to others that have physical and spiritual needs. We see an example of that in Acts chapter 9 with the woman Dorcas, or also known as Tabitha. If you want to look at that, we'll be reading just a few verses in Acts chapter 9, 36 through 39. "Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated means Dorcas. This woman was excelling in acts of kindness and charity, which she did habitually. But it happened at the time that she became sick and died, and when they washed her body, they laid it in an upstairs room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him urging, 'Do not delay in coming to us.' So Peter got ready and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the room upstairs, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them." And so here we have a woman that was looking out for the needs of the people around her. And it says that she did it habitually. And so, you know, while we need to be open daily to the will of the Lord, we do know that the will of the Lord is to take care of those in needs. And so this was, Dorcas's ministry was clearly a planned and regular activity, because it said that it was something that she did habitually. So it doesn't describe, you know, all the acts of kindness and charity, but specifically she made clothing. She met the need of clothing. We do know that because it said the widows who stood beside her showed all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. And so we do know it's the will of God to provide for those that are in need. Now, James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." You know, also in Acts 20:35 says, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And so we're commanded to help the weak, and that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so, you know, I was just thinking about our body here, and, you know, many things came to mind that you are active in. You know, we have families here that are active in caring for children, foster care, adoption. We've had, you know, several families, ones that are here now and in the past, have adopted children to care for them. You know, we have people that are active in providing for the needs of widows, providing housing. We have people that are active in giving food to the hungry. We have people involved in the ministry of caring for the elderly. You know, we have several people with a heart for camps, for reaching children for Christ through camp ministries. Just yesterday, a group went to help out. Sydney last week shared her heart of caring for the unborn and mothers in crisis pregnancies. We have people that are teaching and mentoring children and young people. We have people that are sharing the gospel via door-to-door. We have people involved in children's evangelism fellowship. I'm sure I overlooked some. There are people here that are doing things that I don't know about. And so these, if the Lord has placed it on your heart, it's the will of the Lord that you would be involved in that. Now, some of you might be tempted to say, well, my labor for the Lord seems to be so little. It doesn't compare to what others are doing. Well, there was an episode here in John chapter 21. It doesn't relate directly to time, attention, and energy, but it does relate to mission, I think, where Jesus informed Peter in the way that he was going to die, essentially that he was going to die like Christ died on a cross. And Peter then pointed off to John and said, what about him? And Jesus said, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. And so Jesus was basically saying that you and John potentially have different missions in life, different ends of your life. And so we have all been given different callings, and we should not compare to what ourselves, to what Christ has called other people to do. One of the sword drill verses we read was Matthew 10:42. You know, Jesus saying, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that person will certainly not lose their reward. And so Jesus says that there are rewards for even the small things that we do in life to serve him. You know, even sacrificing a little bit of a time and attention to give a little one a cup of cold water will reap rewards. You know, furthermore, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, Jesus said, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. And so, you know, serving others through our time, attention, and energy is something that Jesus will recognize us and praise us for in the end when we're given our rewards in heaven. But let's dig just a little bit deeper. You know, how can we how can we find the will of God outside of what we already know? My preparing for this has brought to mind a seminar that Lisa and I were involved in over probably close to 30 years ago. Have you gone through experiencing God by Blackaby, yeah, Henry Blackaby? So I looked it up. It's actually still available. His son has taken over the ministry. It's called Blackaby Ministries, and they offer other things other than this course, but it's still available. But one of the things, I have to be honest with you, I still have my workbook. I pulled it out and was skipping through it, and I had forgotten pretty much everything. But the reason I pulled it out is there is one verse that had, or a couple verses that had stuck with me because it was the theme, kind of. They repeated it over and over. And so in John 5:17, Jesus says, but he answered them and said, my Father is working until now, and I myself am working. And then just a couple verses later, in verse 19, it says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the same way. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. Sort of found that interesting that Jesus was saying that what I do, the ministry I do, is what my Father is has been working on. And so I see what God the Father is doing, and then I align myself to do the same thing. And so kind of the whole theme of this experiencing God was to look to see where God is working, then join him. And so I think that's the challenge that we have as individuals and corporately as a body, is looking to see where God is working and then aligning ourselves to join him. You know, I think to a certain extent, as a body, we have done that. Even before Lisa and I came here several years, a group of people broke off to form this work in this particular area. God was at work in bringing people to the area of Western Wake, to Apex and surroundings, and the result was joining that work in order to establish a body of believers into this growing area. God is at work by bringing people from other countries into this area for education and for work. A very multicultural area. And so, again, we have joined this work in several ways. Of course, we were shut down a little bit due to COVID, but we were involved in the Bridges ministry at NC State, ministering specifically to international students. I know that some in this body are actively ministering to specifically people groups that they relate to, and so I think it's appropriate, knowing that God is bringing internationals here, for us to ask ourselves individually and as a body, how can we join God in this work? Last year, there was refugees from Afghanistan, and we took steps to minister to them. God is at work in Ukraine now. I don't think we fully understand how, but we may have opportunities to minister to Ukrainian refugees. My oldest daughter has her Airbnb reserved for a Russian family that is trying to escape due to persecution. And so they are prepared in that way to meet needs. And so we need to be alert. You know, how is God at work? And be prepared to join him. So where are you today? You know, I mentioned earlier on that this was a challenge for me. It was challenging for me because as a retiree, I have more time than I used to. Less energy, but more time. And Lisa and I, in fact, for the past few months, we've been praying, you know, Lord, how would you have us to use our time especially? Energy goes along with that. But, you know, that is something that we have been wrestling with. And it's something that, you know, each of us should be wrestling with. You know, where have you been focusing your time, attention, and energy? You know, has it been on the things of the Lord or on the things of the world? You know, there are a lot of things in this world that are not necessarily bad, but they distract from what the Lord might be having us to do. And so I want to challenge you to daily to take up your cross every day. Ask the Lord, you know, what would you have us to do today? You know, in this small group, I don't think there's anyone in this boat, but perhaps there is. Perhaps there's someone here that has no interest in the things of God. You might even be involved in religious activities, but it's only for the purpose of drawing attention to yourselves. You know, Jesus warned about this. You know, he said in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And so be careful about desiring the flashy work. You know, yes, God will give his disciples, he will ask some of them to prophesy, to cast out demons, and to perform miracles in his name. But to those that seek that because they are not part of him, this should stand as a warning. And what you need is first to submit to Christ. And so as I close, again, just you know, challenge you to forsake all, and specifically you go about your week, wake up daily and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" If you get interrupted, pause and think, is this to irritate me or is this to give me an opportunity to minister, to give a cup of cold water in your name? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you challenge us. Lord, we know that you are worthy. You are worthy for our time. You are worthy for our attention. You are worthy for our energy because you sacrificed your all for us and for our salvation. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray that if anyone here or listening does not truly know you as Lord and Savior, that they would bend their knee and submit to you at this very time and desire to give you all in return for inheriting the kingdom of God that he has promised. Lord, as we go through this week, we pray that we would be open to the leading of your Spirit, that we would be able to understand how God is at work, and that we would be willing to follow and to join that work. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.